This is the Inch Podcast, a production of InsideCollegeHockey.com. Now, let's send it to our podcast host, Joe Vedicheski.
This is the InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, Inch podcast host, joined tonight by two other Inch editors, Nate Ewell and Mike Eidelbus. We've got a special edition of the Inch podcast tonight. Some of you have written already this week, and we appreciate the emails, asking about the annual Inch wish list draft. It's something we do, certainly a unique idea, kind of a little dabbling fantasy, speculation, whatever you want to call it, where we basically take the 16 teams that are in the national tournament and we look for ways to improve them. And the concept is to add players to those teams. We do two rounds of this. Who would they take from the other teams, the 42 who are not in the tournament? So all the 42 teams that are done with their seasons, those players are eligible to be drafted, and we go right from the 16th seed up to the first seed. No team is perfect. Everybody has areas where they could improve. We'll try and set about solving those problems. And tonight, we'll all participate. We've divided the war rooms up as follows. Nate Ewell. Hello, Nate.
Hi, Gladdy.
How are you?
Terrific. Favorite time of year, wish list draft.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
I put some wish lists, and a little known fact about the wish list draft, it started on cocktail napkins.
It did?
It did. In Bilbo's, actually, which was a fine post-game college hockey eatery drinkery in East Lansing, Michigan before it closed.
It was. I had an opportunity. My first visit to East Lansing, I actually had lunch at Bilbo's.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Well, I got to say that my favorite wish list, I do love it, but the haiku is still my favorite. Loved them. Nate's assignment, and he has chosen to accept it, because he had no other choice. Nate will be the war room for Bemidji State, Air Force, and the Hockey East teams. Also, Mike Eidelbus mentioned earlier. Hello, Mike.
Aloha.
What is
means,
up?
Means hello in this case.
Yes, it does. We'll say aloha at the end again, and you can use the other definition.
It's a versatile word.
It works. It would be a good pick in the wish list.
This is all about versatility tonight, isn't it?
It is. It is. Bus's war room assignment is to draft for the CCHA and WCHA representatives in the tournament, and that, of course, leaves me, Joe Gladyszewski, as ECAC Hockey Senior Writer. I'll be handling the drafting of Cornell, Princeton, and Yale, and we'll also be kind of moderating this. So any other further explanation? We got it pretty much covered here?
I think we've got it covered. Do you want to run through the order quick?
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
At least.
Well, it's the same order as the national tournament seeding, so you know what? We won't worry about it. But I'll announce picks ahead of time so that people know if their team's on the clock.
Or, well, if you're listening to this, you can punch up the website right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We have published a accompanying list to go with the podcast, so it will all be spelled out there. So you can find that URL right on the front page of InsideCollegeHockey.com.
So this is kind of like a book on tape.
Well, yeah, I think it's. Yeah, I guess. I'm not so good with books. All right, well, with that, we'll start with Bemidji State. And Nate is on the clock. Nate, what are you looking for the Beavers?
I always look, in this case, and I think when you're facing a kind of an uphill battle like the Beavers are, look at the best player available. I'm not trying to meet needs here, just trying to take the best guy off the board that you can. And that's actually, there's a lot of guys out there. It's not actually a very easy choice this year. But to me, for my money, it's Brock Bradford from BC.
Good pick. I like that pick. Bus, what are your thoughts?
I think that's a good pick. I mean, they're going to need to score some goals and keep Notre Dame on their heels, and a guy like that is dangerous enough to do that.
He also happened to win a national
championship. He's got a ring, and he's a senior.
He's got some experience.
Yeah.
Though he didn't play a whole lot last year.
That's correct.
You know, you think about in that spot, I think you think about you take a guy who can put the puck in the net, or you take somebody who can shut the other team out.
And Bradford is the first of those.
Yes.
Put the puck
in
the
net.
We'll go with it. That's an interesting thought. I like that, Bus, because I think I see where you're going with that. You're up next. We got Ohio State. And next will be Air Force.
I'm not sure. You know, you mentioned the experience and kind of segueing from the, you know, you take a guy that either you take somebody who could score goals or somebody who can shut the other team out. Ohio State has guys who can score goals. Dustin Carlson's had a great year as a goaltender. If I was running Ohio State, and I am right now, I think I'd add a proven goaltender with some postseason experience. And there's nobody better out there right now than Jeff Lurg from Michigan State.
Wow. Okay. Good pick. He knows what Notre Dame brings to the table, too. It's a good matchup. It's familiarity with a first-round opponent. Yeah, it's good. He's won this tournament.
He has. And he's beaten the Boston team on the big stage before.
He did.
Twice, as a matter of fact, has he not? I think the year that MSU won, didn't they beat BU in the first game?
No, they beat North Dakota in the first game. No, BC beat North Dakota.
No, in the first round of the tournament.
Oh,
in the Midwest Regional. I think they beat BC. Or I'm sorry, I think Michigan State beat BU, then beat Notre Dame to win the region.
You know what they did?
Then beat Maine and then beat Boston College. So
they did, yeah.
So you know,
that was when the Notre Dame game was when everyone was crashing the crease. Like all those goals were scored by running the goalie, I think.
Yeah.
That was good. It's good playoff hockey right there.
So what the heck? Put the
Lurg, I like it. I thought you were leaning maybe Osho there.
Nope. I'm going with the guy who's been there before, all the way.
I like it. I do like it. All right. Next up, we have Air Force with the third pick, and that will be, again, Nate choosing, and that will be followed by Miami Redhawks.
I have a tough time with this one because you look at Air Force, and part of it is the product of I'm sure of the conference and everything, but if you look at them on paper, there's no weaknesses there to me. I mean, you can go through special teams, you know, scoring, defense, goaltending, certainly. And I don't see a glaring weakness. I guess that leaves me back to the best player available theory. And I put a little bit of a caveat with that too and thought, I want to get they're going up against Michigan. I want to get a guy that's used to that kind of big stage, used to playing in a big time conference, which you know, obviously, Air Force isn't coming out of one of the Big Four. So I'm leaning Ryan Stoa here.
I see. Yeah. I think I would go in a little different direction there.
Yeah.
I think I would look at the blue line. And the same thing. You know, those guys have great numbers. Volkening, of course, has great numbers. But, again, those are against Atlantic Hockey teams. Those teams do score a lot of goals, but I think a lot of the reason is in that league that maybe the defense isn't quite as caught up to the forwards and the goaltenders. So I would have maybe looked at the blue line there, but you definitely can't go wrong with Ryan Stoa. It's a good pick. Miami with well, Bus will take this pick as fourth pick, and then we'll be on Vermont.
This is I feel like this is a real difficult spot because when you look at this team on paper, there really isn't a glaring weakness.
It's amazing how many times we've said that. We're only four picks deep. I mean,
well,
these are some of the worst teams. I mean, it's a compliment to the talent in this tournament and the balance in this.
Well, you know, you look at Miami. They've got you know, scoring wise, you know, I'm looking at their national rankings. I think they're 12th nationally in scoring in scoring offense. They're 16th.
Their depth.
They're 9th in scoring defense. Their power play is like 6th, and they've got the best penalty kill.
Yeah.
Actually, their power play is 12th. You know, they've got six guys who have 10 or more goals. They have, I think it's eight guys who have, actually nine guys who have 20 or more points. And the goaltenders are both, you know, right around 2.15 goals against, and both with save percentages of 90 or better. What, you know, so, you know, you look at, and as I look up and down the roster, maybe the one thing that they could use is a little bit of offense from the blue line. Maybe somebody back there who is more of a threat to score goals.
Mm.
I see. I was initially leaning toward Jamie McBain, but I think I'm going to do an about face, and I'm going to go with Zach Miskovic from St. Lawrence.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's a different name than I expected, but hey, I'm okay with these. Some of these guys are falling to my teams in this draft that I'm excited about. So, but yeah, Miskovic, he had 16 goals. I mean, that's unbelievable.
And really, it's not so much when I looked at this roster, it's not so much filling a void as it is adding another dimension.
Correct.
And that's something that they, you know, Miami's been fine without getting goals from the defense. But if they could score, you know, getting a goal or two from the blue line just makes them that much more dangerous.
And it opens up more stuff down low.
Exactly.
Yeah, that helps the forwards too. Good pick. Good pick. Misko, nice. By the way, he signed a pro contract on the date we recorded this. So congratulations to him.
Gets picked in the wish list draft and signs a deal.
Gets a paper.
Who did he sign with?
The Washington Capitals. Huh? 1 year entry level deal. Good.
Perfect.
Miskovic never missed a game in 4 years of college hockey. Not injury, not, you know, finals, not family issues, not checking from behind, nothing. Never missed a game. That's an unbelievable statistic to me. Congrats on a great career and on being selected 4th overall in the wish list draft.
Okay. I don't know what salary slot that is, though.
And what bonus structure does that trigger?
I don't know.
All right, we're up to Vermont with the 5th pick, followed by Princeton and Cornell. So, Nate, let's start with Vermont.
Yeah, I think Bus mentioned his name here, and I hope you weren't salivating too much that this guy was going to fall to you because Jamie McBain is off the board.
Come on! He's fallen to your alma mater.
We'd love him, but I'm going to take out another Ivy team with this one.
All right.
Here's the deal, and you know, you don't have to do any reasoning here other than the fact that the guy's the WCHA Player of the Year.
Exactly.
But as I look at it, you've got a team that's 46th in the PK in the country in Vermont, 80.2%, and that's not good. And you got to shore up the D, I think.
He's
the guy. He'll go and play 30 minutes, even on a team that already has guys that do that. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. I like that pick. Too much, as a matter of fact.
You didn't really think he'd fall, did you?
Well, I got optimistic after Miskovic went ahead of him. I've got to be honest with you.
No, you're not going to go Minnesota Vikings and blank on your pick and let two other teams skip ahead, are you?
Well, I do have to readjust something real quick. Let me take a quick look here. I didn't use the Sharpie, but I didn't use a pencil either. It was kind of like felt tip pen. I can smear it out a little bit here.
You're more prepared than I was.
So
or am.
Yeah, I was looking into that. Well, let's talk about need with Princeton. And to me, you need a rock. Their defense is good. It's young. It's good. But they tend to be maybe a little bit opposite of what you're saying about Miami Bus, that they could use a little more steadying presence back there. And, you know, a guy who's just going to take care of business and do the kinds of things that, you know, just a little more reliable and accountable in the D zone. And along those same lines, they got a good look at him in the third place game. Sean Fensel from St. Lawrence. He's a terrific defensive defenseman. Anybody who's watched the Saints and Joe Marsh, it's unfortunate that Joe Marsh has had to kind of pump his tires. He's been pitching him a little bit in the last few weeks about as far as, you know, maybe not getting all league honors and being, you know, Joe Marsh called him the most underrated defenseman who's ever played at St. Lawrence, which is really saying something because they've turned out a lot of really good ones over the years. But Fensel's just—he's just good. He wins battles. He's great stick position. You know, he's physical enough to knock guys around, and I just like his whole game. So Princeton will go with Sean Fensel there.
They must have had a hell of a D at St. Lawrence.
20 points too.
Yeah, he does it all. I mean, he does it all. Yeah, he's a guy I put on my mid-season All ECAC hockey team 2 years ago. I mean. And that's when, you know, Klitsam and Brendan Nash and Biega and all, you know, all these guys around the league are just, and he really, really is solid. He's good. You know who he's very similar to is Jamie Cyphers from Vermont. He's not, you know, doesn't have that pro build and, you know, he's not going to douse you with his hands or skating, but, you know, you want him out there and it just, he's a good glue guy. So Fensel goes to Princeton. I like what that does for their blue line. And we'll go with that.
Did he and Miskovic play together?
No.
So they basically would have one of those guys out there all the time.
Yeah, and Matt Generous, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember around Christmas time, Bus, when we had to say who's going to be that third and fourth team from ECAC hockey, and we just kept coming back to St. Lawrence?
Yes, we did. That's why.
It's a big reason why. All right, Cornell is actually pretty easy because, unfortunately, Pat Kennedy's out. I'm sorry, Blake Gallagher. Blake Gallagher is out this weekend. He's a huge part of their offense. Doesn't play on the first line, plays on the second line, but plays on the first power play unit. And he really is a key part of that power play because they run a perimeter power play with Riley Nash, Brendan Nash, and then Evan Barlow on the far side, all around the top. Greening works, you know, the front of the net. And Gallagher's the guy who goes in and wins those loose pucks on the strong side corner and kind of works the puck up the wall with Riley Nash, and they run it kind of off the left wing with that. He's out, and it really makes a difference for Cornell. First, because it takes away some of their second line punch, and then, of course, it hurts their first power play unit, which is, as you've heard, pretty talented and very good. So they need a guy to win those battles and do those things. And there's a forward who, if he was playing at BC or BU or New Hampshire, I think everyone in the country would know his name. But he plays at UMass Lowell, so not a lot of people are up to speed on this guy. He's their leading scorer. It's Scott Campbell from Lowell. And he's gonna fit into that Gallagher spot for my money for Cornell. And I like it. So Scott Campbell goes to the Big Red. New Hampshire is up next.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, you saw him play.
Yeah, you know, he didn't stand out the first time I saw him play. I saw him play against Northeastern, and they kind of controlled that game. But, yeah, this weekend watching those games, liked him a lot.
Yeah. You can take a second if you need it. Nate, you're on next with New Hampshire. Then that'll be North Dakota with Bus, and then Northeastern.
I actually want to pick Bus's brain on this a little bit because I'm looking at two guys that I think could help, actually two teammates that I think could help New Hampshire. And one of the things that strikes me about New Hampshire is it's not something we're used to with this team. Their power play is abysmal. And just in general, I think they could use a little bit of scoring depth. but especially from the blue line. Like I really like Blake Kessel. I think he's a good player, but they don't get a whole lot. They could use that power play point man, or the guy that puts the puck in the net up front. So the guys up front, I think the power play goal guy that's not in this tournament is Max Campbell out of Western Michigan. And the other guy I was looking at there is his teammate Patrick Gallivan, who's an all CCHA player. I'm sifting through some power play point guys too, but Bus, what's I'm just curious what you think of those guys and if they would help.
You know, that's an interesting thought. Honestly, my first thought with New Hampshire was you go with Jordan Schrader from Minnesota, you free Van Riemsdyk up to play the wing, yeah. And there's where you get your goal scoring, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can't believe he's still on the board. these are need based picks, but
we're talking about a guy that's he's going to be picked in the top 10 in the draft this June.
Yeah.
And that was the first thought, is that, you know, they seem, and granted, I have not seen a lot of New Hampshire, but they certainly seem, if Van Riemsdyk and the Sislo and LeBlanc are good, then they're good. If they're not, then they don't score. You know, Bobby Butler has 8 goals. We know he's certainly capable of much more than that. I think if you put a guy like Schrader, he'll get the puck to the right guys. Van Riemsdyk doesn't have to worry about kind of being in that center position.
And they worked out all right together the last two.
They were pretty good on the U.S. teams there too. So
yeah,
I mean, that was my first thought. It just makes them more diverse.
Welcome into my war room. We will take that. I like it. I like all it. Right. Yeah, shouldn't have missed that one.
Jordan Schrader to New Hampshire. Good pick. Bus, you're on with North Dakota. And if you need some consulting, well, tell me what you're thinking with North Dakota. What do you see and maybe they need or would like, I should say? Because I got a guy in mind for them I think that fits.
They're an interesting club too. One thing that really strikes me about North Dakota is, you know, they would have liked a guy like Schrader, obviously. Because as you look at their lineup, you know, they've got the guys who can score the goals. They've got the Duncans. They've got the, you know, Vandevelles and, Jason Gregoire, Hextall, Fratt, and those guys. But they don't really have that kind of center distributor guy, you know, like the Taves who used to make, you know.
Yeah.
Who'd create for Oshie and, you know, and Spearco and those guys from, you know, back a few years ago. So what I'm really thinking from North Dakota is a playmaking center right off the top of my head, or just a guy who can move the puck and still, you know, I think he kind of needs to be that kind of fit in the mold of that team. I think it's hard to not pick David McIntyre from Colgate. I think he probably fits that bill.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick right there.
Guy can score, guy can distribute, and, you know, yeah.
He fits North Dakota's attitude, too.
I think he sounds like he can grind it out if he has to.
He does, yeah.
He's a two-way player. Maybe a little bit more gifted than, like, a Chris Porter.
A
couple years ago, but kind of in that same mold. So North Dakota will go with David McIntyre.
David McIntyre. Not so shabby when you get a Hobie finalist.
So now the WCHA would have two.
both of them would be taken in the wishlist draft. Next up is Nate with Northeastern, and then we'll go to the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs and back to Bus, and then I'll be on tap with the Yale Bulldogs. We got back-to-back Bulldogs.
We've got three dogs in a row.
three-dog night.
It's a three-dog night right now. There you go.
Or morning, if you're listening to this in the morning.
It is.
All right, Northeastern.
Northeastern.
You know what I like?
Scoring, right?
Well, I like the balance scoring they have up front. I do think that might be something that they look at maybe next round. But and obviously, you don't have to worry about a goalie.
That's true.
I'm looking on D here, and one thing I looked at was that all their D combined have let me count them up 2, 4, 6, 9 goals.
That's not a lot of goals.
It's not a lot of goals from the blue line. The guy that they're going to pick was a first-teamer in their league, so they saw him. I actually looked. He didn't have any goals against Thiessen, but they know what this guy can do, and it's Maury Edwards from UMass Lowell.
Maury Edwards.
Had 11 goals, and obviously 11 goals, 29 points, and he'd be a big addition back there.
Well, yeah, that's a good pick. It's a good pick, and I'll maybe come back to that when I draft for Yale because I think they need the same thing. I think they need a little offensive punch from the blue line. But that pick is up next after Minnesota Duluth.
This is a tough pick. You know, if your familiarity with Minnesota Duluth it consists solely of the games you saw from the X last weekend, you're going to think that, you know, they've got a lot they're a fairly dynamic offensive team because we saw some pretty goals scored by them. Obviously, McGregor Sharp was had a huge weekend.
Yeah, Fontaine's good.
And Fontaine's good, and Connolly had a great year as a freshman. He had 38 points. But after that, it really tails off. So they have really two issues. They could use some. They definitely could use some scoring pop. And they also could use somebody to help their penalty kill, which is I want to say it's the worst of the remaining teams in the tournament. I mean, they're actually 44th. They're not quite. They're not quite down as low as I think Vermont's lower than them, but they're, you know, about 81% on the penalty kills. So, you know, I kind of want to lean towards somebody that maybe could play the penalty kill, but more importantly, I want somebody who can score and create some offense. And for that reason, I think I'm going to stay in the WCHA and give them Garrett Rowe from St. Cloud.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick. Yeah. When you were describing what you were describing, I thought for sure you were describing Ben Ferriero.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
And he's a senior, and he's been in this tournament.
Yeah,
which
I was thinking that. I could be. You know, actually, another guy who is maybe a better fit than Garrett Rowe, I might have to pull my paper back, is Chad Rao from Colorado College.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah, I think that's a better fit, yep.
Let's go with him.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Well, yeah.
Garrett Rowe just thought he had a great chance to go home to Washington, D.C. and play.
Minnesota Lou's not playing in D.C.,
no, that's true.
We give him Gretzky and Messier. I shouldn't say that. That, you know, just in talking about this bracket with people, that region is – I'd go even money on all those teams.
Yep.
Any single one of those teams can win two in a row there. And anyone can lose 6-0 there. It's wild, wide open. I can't wait to watch that. Can't wait to watch that. Well, for me, Yale kind of fits into where Northeastern fits. They score a lot of goals, which is opposite of Northeastern. But they lost their best puck-moving blue liner in Tommy Dignard to a season-ending injury back in January, and I'm thrilled that this guy fell as far as he did. And that's Cade Fairchild.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice get.
I mean, I love the kid. I I love him with the Gophers, and I really am impressed what he's done the last 2 years at World Junior, which to me speaks to him playing at a high level of competition in important games. And I just – I think it's a great fit for Yale because it helps fill what they lost with that injury. And even though he's a sophomore, he's played in big games against these kinds of teams before. Well, every weekend pretty much.
Yeah.
So I think he's just the right fit there. And so Yale had a pretty easy one as far as I can see.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, Bus, you got three in a row coming up here. Do you want to proxy one of these off? You got Michigan, Denver, Notre Dame, and then we'll wrap with BU for the first round.
Wow. Let's see, Michigan, Denver, Notre Dame.
No, we can just work through them.
You know what? Glad you've seen enough of Notre Dame to be to know what they need, which is probably
nothing.
Sharp skates and tape with a stick. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
that'll be a best player available pick. And
we'll
go for something.
And you know, to a certain extent, I think that's Michigan too.
Yeah, I like their team. You know what? I think they could use some size up front.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about them too. Maybe a little grit.
Yeah. Sandpaper.
Yeah, they don't really have
it is
that.
Physical sandpaper, not mouthy sandpaper.
No. Just kind of a grinder. They don't. From what I've seen of them this year, they don't score a lot of ugly goals.
Yes.
And, you know, we obviously this is the time of year where
those happen.
You need to get some of those. A guy that I'm looking at, I mean, this would be a great place for Ferriero, obviously, for obvious reasons, because he would be surrounded with a bunch of guys who could make plays and he would just fit in seamlessly with this team. But I think I'm going to go a little bit off the board, and I'm going back to the this is going to be the third pick in the row for the WCHA. I'm going to go with a guy from Alaska Anchorage named Paul Crowder, who's a bigger kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he goes about 6'3". And, he scored 14 goals for a team that doesn't score a lot of goals. Yeah. And, I like his size, and I think that he would certainly bring a lot to the table for Michigan. Kind of, what they need up front.
Yeah, that's a good get. I like that.
Yeah, real good get. And quality, from what I've heard, quality guy too. He knows that he would know Michigan too because his brother played at Michigan State, right?
That's right.
There you go. Maybe he'd be a little torn. Or maybe not. Well, no, that's a good pick. Denver, obviously, you got to look up the middle.
Yeah, best center available. Who is that guy? You know, I guess it could have been Chad Rao, who played a little bit of center. That said, I think I am, we've been very,
your guy is still on the board here. And I know he didn't have a great year, but
I know who you're talking about.
I know who you're talking about, Ben Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was, you know what, you threw him out there, I might have to put him in here. I was actually going to go with Brock McBride from St. Lawrence.
Oh, I don't think that's a great pick in this round.
Is it too early?
No, he's more of a carry the offense type of guy than a fit in. And he's more of a scorer than a playmaker, honestly.
I don't think Denver would shy away from that at this point.
No.
Yeah, I'm thinking Denver could use a little offensive boost right now.
Yeah. He's definitely good.
I mean, you look at the guys that they've got in their lineup. You know, Rakshani, goal scorer.
He'd fit well with the Rakshani. He plays at that pace, like that Rakshani type of game. That's,
you know, I think, but you look at, you know, Mayani, their leading scorer, he's a distributor. You know, they need, I think that they could use a little bit more in the finishing department. You don't know what, you know, Bozak's coming back, supposedly this week, and who knows what you're going to get out of him.
Right.
I don't know if I'm talking myself into McBride or into Smith, to be honest with you, because, you know, we've seen him have some big NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, that's true. 25 goals last year.
And you could put Ferriero here, too. I mean,
Ben Smith from 25 goals to 6 goals. And that's why Boston College will be watching hockey this weekend. Not single-handed, not specifically because of him, but so many guys just went so far off the rails as far as what they did a year ago to this year.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think I'm gonna talk myself into taking Ben Smith.
Back to Ben Smith.
Yeah. He's good on, you know, he can play on the power play. He definitely can kill penalties. And, you know, solid guy up the middle. And you know what? I think the other thing, too, is he'll do whatever he's asked to do. You know, if it's win a draw, if it's check the other guy's top forward, he's capable of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I got to stick up for my boy.
Yeah, you're not going to jump off that bandwagon.
No.
After 1 year, so that's good.
He's got 19 goals in him for the tournament.
That's right. That's right. That would be a record, right? Any of those like Lake State or Maine guys score 19 in the tournament? Well, it wasn't a four-round tournament back then, so. 20. So we'll see. If the Notre Dame was proxied to me, and BU will be next, Nate, so you'll be on the clock with them. And you know those teams are in similar situations; they're so loaded. For Notre Dame, I'm looking best available, and I can't see. I mean, sure, they could get help, you know, on their blue line, but it's not going to make a huge difference. So I just got to go with somebody who can score. And Notre Dame is going to be in close games because of how they play. And here's a guy who can just make a goal, you know, throw him over the boards and say, go get one. And he's got a chance to do it. It's Garrett Rowe. I mean, he's got to be the pick here, I think.
I don't think he's got to be because I thought your description was going to take my guy that BU's getting.
All right.
Well, we might as well merge these into two then.
Yeah, go nuts.
I do think that with BU, the more I look at this team, I mean, you can't pick a D because there's nowhere to play him.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's the case at forward. I think their top six, as we wrote in our capsule, are elite.
They're carrying the mail, yeah.
And then I think you can fit guys into those bottom six. Actually, somebody who might bump out one of the top six is James Marcoux from Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's a real good pick. Real good pick.
And fits that exactly what you just said about Rowan. In terms of creating offense coming over the boards.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, well, round one is complete. Let's go through and recap this. I'll starts with Bemidji State taking Brock Bradford out of Boston College. Ohio State goes after the goaltender, the only goaltender taken in this draft, in this round of the draft so far, and that was Jeff Lurg of Michigan State. Air Force added best available player and deemed that player to be Ryan Stoa of Minnesota. Miami, looking for some offense from the blue line, takes St. Lawrence's Zach Miskovic. Vermont looking for, again, best available and some help on the blue line. It's Jamie McBain from Wisconsin. Princeton grabs a stay-at-home defenseman who can also, you know, fit into their flowing offensive ideas, and quick transition is really what that's all about. And that's Sean Fensel from St. Lawrence. Cornell grabs Scott Campbell of UMass Lowell, someone to work the wall and kind of fill in for Blake Gallagher. Jordan Schrader goes to New Hampshire. Reunited on a line in our world here, in our wish list world, with James Van Riemsdyk, and certainly makes them a lot better real easy. North Dakota gets Colgate's David McIntyre, Hobie Baker finalist, ECAC hockey first teamer, dynamic offensive talent, and a good fit for them. Northeastern, looking for an offensive defenseman, gets Maury Edwards from UMass Lowell. Minnesota Duluth stays in the WCHA, grabs Chad Rau. One point we didn't make on the Rau pick, guys, is that's a great pick on the big ice.
Yeah, there's that too.
That helps Duluth on the big sheet.
Forget that Duluth plays on that postage stamp up there.
Yeah, the curling rink, literally. Cade Fairchild of Minnesota goes to Yale, adds some offense on the blue line there. And then the four number one seeds, Michigan takes Paul Crowder from Alaska Anchorage. Boston College's Ben Smith, after much deliberation, goes to Denver. Notre Dame grabs Garrett Rowe for instant offense, and BU does the same and goes with James Marcoux of UMass. Thoughts on the first round?
These teams got a lot better.
They got a lot better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, one point that we made before we recorded was we've done the wish list 4 or 5 years now, and this might be the most talented group of available players, you know, as far as Hobie finalists and first-round picks and those kinds of people.
Well, you look at three of the teams that are out of the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Boston College.
And Boston College. And we haven't really even – we've barely tapped into
– Wisconsin.
We took one Wisconsin guy, you know, three Minnesota guys, and a couple BC guys.
Yeah, we almost had more St. Lawrence guys than any other team.
Almost.
Almost. But that's why we got a second round.
And one goalie in the first round, which is...
Well, you know what? I think that's a compliment to the teams that are in this tournament this year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That happens a lot, actually. Like last year, there's only one goalie. We had...
Michigan, actually, right?
The first pick was Zacharias from Minnesota State.
That's right.
But then you look at the rest of the teams, they all have goalies. So,
yeah.
You know, if you don't have a good goalie, then you're not here.
Well, Ocho is still on the board. He's a Hobie finalist.
Well, I know he is.
CCHA Player of the Year, right?
Yeah.
You know, let me give you this for comparison. Last year, last two picks of the first round last year.
Okay.
Owen Meyer from Army. Alex Biega from Harvard.
There you go.
I mean, this is deeper.
I looked at that today.
Yeah. I'm gonna look at Harvard for some help. I think a couple Harvard players could help some of these teams. Ready to rack it up for round two?
I guess you're not looking for offense, huh?
I didn't say it. As long as there's a regional at Bright, we're all right. Let's rack it up for round two, and we'll start again at the top. Bemidji State. Second round, they've already added Brock Bradford. That'll be followed by Ohio State. Nate, on the board for the Beavers.
All right. Sorry, reconvening the war room here. In Bemidji?
Bemidji State Beavers, yes.
Sometimes I like to look in conference for these teams because they see these guys, but...
Yeah.
There's only three teams in conference.
Yeah, there's a...
I just looked, and it took me 30 seconds.
There's a guy there I think that helps a lot of teams. I'm actually probably going to look at him for one of my picks.
Now I'm going to go try and guess who you're looking at.
I think I got it.
You think you got the answer, or you know?
No, I think I know who he's looking at.
There's actually two I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Robert Morris guy's up front. I think that could definitely help.
Yeah.
But I'm sticking best player available, and I don't think that's it. You can see how well prepared I am for round two.
We usually have... we had a nice little break there too.
Yeah, we usually have an overnight.
Overnight
settling. We have day one and day two of the wishlist draft.
We're packed together here. All right, Nation's leading scorer, Gladdy. You followed him for a game, and I know that he did less than you expected. But
that's a nice way of putting it. You know, if you're looking for a guy there and you're leaning toward, I'd go with David Marshall ahead of Brian Leach.
Okay.
From Quinnipiac. He's a scorer. And Bemidji State's going to need goals against Notre Dame.
Yep.
Brian Leach is more of a playmaker. Some people say that his 47 assists are a little inflated. I'm not going to say if they are or not. I'm just telling what other people say. And Bemidji State needs finishers, you know. They need goals, and I think David Marshall is a good pick for them.
That works.
All right. David Marshall to Bemidji.
Oh.
I like that pick. David Marshall.
He's very similar to David McIntyre. They're good, you know, hard players that they're good. I like those guys.
Compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment. Bus is up with Ohio State, and then Nate will go with Air Force.
Can't spell Quinnipiac. Guess I could just put a Q.
That's what I do.
Here's a problem that I'm running into. Is not a problem. I look at Ohio State, and we kind of mentioned that, you know, they've got scoring. That's a given. I think what I would add to this team, you know, we got the tournament tested goalie in round one with Lurg. This team is extremely young. I know they've got 20 plus freshmen and sophomores in the lineup.
Yep.
And I'm thinking they would really benefit from, you know, an upperclassman, a senior type, maybe a stay-at-home defenseman, just a calming influence on the blue line for them. Who can take control of things when, you know,
things get a little hectic.
When things get a little hectic. And Gladdy, I may defer to you on this one. But might that guy be Matt Generous from St. Lawrence? Or is he – he's not really a big guy.
No, his size is okay.
I guess he is 6'3". I was looking at something else.
Yeah, he – in our fantasy world, is he 100% healthy? Because he wasn't in Albany, you could tell.
Nobody's in this. Nobody's signed a pro contract, and they're all healthy.
Okay. And yeah, that's a good get. I think he's played a lot of college hockey. It's a good pick there. I like that pick.
We're going to go with him.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking of maybe like a Carl Sneap from BC.
Right.
But, nah, I'm going to go with the senior.
Yeah.
As you can tell, I'm not 100%, you know, I'm not convicted or sold on this pick. But what are you going to do?
It helps the Buckeyes. It really does. That's a good pick. It's a good pick. And a leader in that whole St. Lawrence room where, I mean, you don't go from ninth to fourth and a minute away from playing for the championship game without some real, real good leadership. And I think Generous provides that. Air Force is up next, and Nate will be handling that pick. They'll be followed by Miami. Air Force grabbed Ryan Stoa in the first round.
Offense in the first round, so and back on the blue line. And I think the temptation here is to go a little bit more defensive, but the name that's jumping out to me is Eddie Del Grosso from Nebraska Omaha.
Yeah.
Who's a blue liner that's a puck mover. You know, they've already got Greg Flynn to to kind of fit that role in Air Force.
Right, right.
Those are guys that you can't get. You know, it's not easy to get those guys unless you're playing a wish list draft.
Yes. Yes.
The hell, might as well get one.
Yeah, what the heck.
There you go. Eddie Del Grosso, that's a good ad. That's a good ad. Air Force can't be too disappointed with that.
No, I would. We're up to Miami now.
Up to Miami. They took Miskovic with the first round pick on the blue line. Vermont will be next, followed by Princeton and Cornell.
You know, I go back to the things that we talked about earlier, and you know, with Miami, with you know, not really any you know, glaring weaknesses, but you do find a couple of things here or there that maybe, you know, you think to yourself, well, this could be an area of improvement, and you know, they've got you know, fairly balanced goal scoring. You know, Carter Camper has 20, Andy Mealy has 14, but after that you've got a bunch of guys with 11, 11, 10, 10, you know, 8, 8, and then it drops off from there. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking to myself, maybe they need a little bit, you know, somebody, a little bit of a, more of a consistent goal scorer, somebody who can be a threat to put the puck in the net, anytime and from anywhere. And, I think that, the player that jumps out at me that fits that role, and it probably would fit in very well with Miami, is Ryan Lash from St. Cloud.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I was looking at him, too.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Ryan Lash, St. Cloud. Yeah, that's a really good pick. It's a really good pick. All right, Vermont. Jamie McBain was their first-round pick.
I don't want to harp on that penalty percentage for Vermont, but yeah. I think it could still use some help.
There you go.
And Bus brought his name up earlier, but it seems like Carl Sneap is a guy that could really do some damage there.
Thinking Sneap, or are you thinking maybe penalty killing forward?
You know, I wouldn't mind a penalty killing forward. It's tough to evaluate those guys from my standpoint. And if you guys know, if one springs to mind, then that's great. Because
you know, a guy that might fit in is
to evaluate from afar.
Right.
What doesn't work for a penalty kill unless you watch them all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, clearly there's things not working for Vermont. I don't know if it's, you know, my guess is it's not Madour because he's got a good save percentage.
Right.
I'm guessing it's the guys in front of him, but I don't know where. You know, maybe it's a face-off guy.
What are you going to say, Bus?
You know, you talk about a guy. I was thinking about a guy that, if you're thinking of forward, a name you can throw in there is Blake Jeffrion from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he just gets you more penalties.
Yeah, he gets you more penalties.
Well, there's that. He had a little bit of a...
Yeah, that's a one-weekend deal.
Yeah.
Or is it? Who knows? Well, we'll look at it.
He had 73 PIMs this year.
That's a lot of PIMs. Yeah, Vermont doesn't need more PIMs.
But he's the kind of guy that can, you know, play a lot of different roles, and he's a, you know, obviously a big kid. You know, he's go 6'2", 190. But no, maybe you do go defense. It's tough to go out. It's tough. Sneap's a good pick there, I think.
Yeah, that is a good pick.
Well, there it is.
If you're looking for endorsements, I endorse that pick.
Thank you, Joe.
No problem. No problemo. And now we are up to Princeton. Princeton went with Fensel in the first round, who's a guy, you know, who I said wants to take care of the defensive end. And another thing I don't know that Princeton has enough of – I shouldn't say that. One thing I don't think Princeton has an abundance of is jam. It is nastiness. I think you can get into some games with them and it can feel comfortable. You don't have that edge or that snarl. And I think you need a little bit of that. Not too much. And this guy might bring too much. But I think Princeton can afford it because they're the least penalized team in the country. And I'm going to stick with the Boston College blue line and grab Nick Petrecki here. Just, you need some nasty, you know?
They're not the least penalized team anymore.
No. I think you need some nasty. And he was in this tournament last year. I think it fits here. And
I like him. That's
yeah,
great.
I do too. I think that's a good selection.
I just, you know, for the things that he brings, and there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that he brings that maybe isn't so great. And he got sat down at least once this year because of discipline and decision making on the ice by Jerry York. But I just think that's a Princeton could use a little bit of that bite. You know, someone to push back a little bit, especially in front of Kalemba. Because they're going to be all over that blue paint. Duluth is going to be on Friday night. So that's my call on Petrecki right there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good spot for him.
So, all right. And now with Cornell, we added a forward who, you know, works the wall and makes plays and goes to the net, kind of a Brooks Lech type player and Scott Campbell, as it were. You knew that was coming.
Lame.
But you know what else? When Evan Barlow really got hot the last month of the season, and he's a guy I watched for 4 years, and he's always dangerous. You know, he had that element of timing, and I've never seen a player more snake-bitten in my life. You know, just his posts and the knob of the goalie's stick, and just it's unbelievable watching him. And then they finally started to go in. He scored a ridiculous goal against Princeton to get them back in that game in the semifinal. And I think, you know, this group hasn't been – only this year's seniors have been in the national tournament for Cornell because they've been out the last 2 years. So this guy has played in the last two tournaments and, to me, was one of the best players at last year's regional and has that sizzle, has that dazzle that Barlow brings. And I think they could use some more of that down their depth chart, down their line chart a little bit. And I'm going to – and he really came on the second half of the year – Shea Guthrie of Clarkson goes to Cornell.
You know, from what I've seen of him, which was, I guess, the last two tournaments?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any regular season, but I always think, oh, I'm going to look at the top of the scoring leaders in the ECAC, and this guy's going to be there.
Yeah, he hasn't been. He's fought consistency issues in his career, and fought injuries the first half of this year, but once he got healthy, he was dynamite.
He's been good in the tournament, so that's
And he's been good in the tournament, so that's why I think Shea Guthrie was a pretty good fit there for Cornell. Now we are up to New Hampshire, followed by North Dakota. Bus, what do you think of Guthrie?
I'm trying to search. I feel like Doug Woog. I'm trying to reach for something, and I'm not sure it fits there or not. oh, yeah, 91. I should remember that.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking at his career numbers just in front of me right now. You know, he had 27 points this year, 13 goals, 14 assists in first career. I mean, 106 points in 137 games.
Yeah.
40 goals, 39 goals, 67 assists.
He's a little bit atypical of some of the kids that Clarkson's gotten. You know, I should say that Clarkson got ahead of him. Some older players that they got out of junior, you know, like Zaleski or Nick Dodge or those kinds of guys. And I don't know, you know, he came out of prep school, and I don't know that his his confidence, and he was maybe a little timid and didn't want to rock the boat. I don't think he really understood his role. You know, kind of wanted to take a backseat to those leaders, those guys that had, they were older than him.
Well, yeah, and those, you know, those guys were some dominant personalities that they
had.
Yeah,
they were good.
And he was a young guy coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, I think he was a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
But even now you look at him, he's got good size. I mean, he goes 6'4", 6'2", so.
Yeah, he's good. He's shifty, and he's just good all around. So, yeah, that's a good pick there.
He'd be a very good pick fit for that team.
Yeah, that's a good get. It's a good get. New Hampshire, Nate, any ideas?
Yeah. Probably should have gone D in the first round, but Schrader was there. And
got to take him. You got to take him there.
Yeah,
you got to. But now I think you look at the D who are out there, and it's pretty good to get an Eric Gustafson from Northern Michigan here.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
That's a guy that will get the puck out of your zone, you know, more of an offensive-minded guy, but I don't think that hurts him at all.
No, that's really good. It fits New Hampshire right there. That's a good get.
Yeah, he would fit well, and again help the power play too. So.
All right. Excuse me, we're back to North Dakota, I guess.
Yeah, North Dakota, then Northeastern.
I am, North Dakota took David McIntyre from Colgate.
Yes, they did.
In the first round. You know, there's so many things you can do with this North Dakota team. You know, I've kind of been saying for most of the second half of the year that this is a team that is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
I look at some of their needs. You know, they're kind of a middling power play. They're 22nd in the nation. They've given up 10 shorthanded goals, which is a little bit of a red flag. Only three teams gave up more. Boston College was one of them, by the way. Their penalty kill is 25th. And on defense, you know, I think their best defenseman is probably, you know, who would you say? This is the problem I have with North Dakota. You know, they've got offensive defensemen and they've got defensive defensemen, and they don't really have anybody in the middle.
Right, right.
They don't have a combination guy who can really do both things. And that sort of is, that's the gap that I see with North Dakota, looking for a real versatile defenseman, you know, who can play kind of a, you know, a couple, fill both roles adequately. Who is that guy, however? that's sort of what stumped me right now is who fits that role.
About Reboyne.
I was thinking Reboyne. You know, obviously he's got, he scores some goals, which is another thing that they don't get goals from the blue line either.
Right.
I was thinking Reboyne, and I think that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to take him. Go Garrett Reboyne from St. Cloud.
Yeah, it's good.
I was thinking him or Golubev. I wasn't quite sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. You can't go wrong either way there.
No. I'm going to go with Reboyne. He's got some nice... I like Garrett Reboyne. I am a big Garrett Reboyne fan.
Yeah. Nate?
There is one team that beat Northeastern three times this year. And it was UMass.
Really?
Yeah. They came away from those meetings sitting here in the war room. We're tossing around. And we really liked Corey Quirk from UMass. I think he adds a bit of something to the Huskies. A little bit of goal scoring, a little bit of help on the power play. I think he'll be a good addition.
Yeah, that is a good addition. I like that. Yeah, nice pick. Nice pick.
You got to scout your own games first.
That's true. know yourself.
But you have to see somebody plays when they're playing against you.
That's right. That's right. Next up will be Minnesota Duluth, and then Yale. Bulldogs
is right.
Bulldog walks into a bar.
What do these Bulldogs need? The first time around, we gave him Chad Rao. That's actually looking back, real good.
Yeah,
that's a real good fit for that team. It fills a lot of needs. I don't know that we're gonna find somebody that will solve all their problems or fill as many voids as he did for them up front. I feel the urge to pick a defenseman for them. Maybe somebody who's a little bit got some puck skills. Somebody that can get the puck to the forwards and make things happen in that way. I'm looking at Wisconsin right now, and yep, there's so much defensive talent on that team. I mean, who do you take? Ryan McDonough was a first round pick by Montreal a couple years ago, and he does a lot of things very well. I think Duluth will go with him. Good size, good player.
Ryan McDonough. Get on the big ice. He's good in that.
Yes, he is.
That's a good pick.
That team, not that you want to change anything from what they did last week, and they almost need a steadying influence with the streaky, and that's a tough thing to measure, but the streaky as they've been, you don't want to...
Yeah,
too fast if a goal goes against you in the first period or something.
That's a good point, and we didn't really touch on that in Sunday's podcast, and maybe this is off base, but whatever.
It's the Inch podcast, but everything's in bounds.
I'm just wondering, you mentioned that steadying influence and how, once Duluth got on that roll in the first game and then they got rolling against North Dakota, the thing just snowballed. And like you said, Nate, what happens if Princeton comes out and scores 2 minutes in or scores – two goals 7 minutes into the game this weekend in Minneapolis. I mean, they're going to need somebody to calm it down, and it's a very good point.
I told, I think I told Joe this before we did the podcast the other day, from speaking as a Princeton alum, happier to play them this weekend than I would have been playing them Sunday in their fourth game in 4 days.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think
they've been so streaky this year.
But don't you feel like they're due for a letdown?
Yes, I do. I think Princeton wins that game Friday night.
Yeah, I do too. I really do.
Another point I made to Nate, and this has nothing to do with the wish list, but just talking hockey and strategy, was I kind of stay away from teams who won their league tournament. You can say there's no sense of satisfaction. You can say there's no letdown, but I kind of look at teams that haven't done it, that still have something, still have that carrot dangling in front of them.
We got into this a little bit Sunday.
Yeah, we did get into this Sunday,
we did. I think you have to look at the circumstance,
We made that point. Yeah,
we made that point, but you look at, for example, BU. I mean, they. It's more or less they kind of hung on. They did, and no disrespect to BU, but it's like they did the bare minimum that was needed to put that team away.
Right.
And they got through. Duluth got on a roll and got through. Notre Dame got down, imposed their will on Michigan, and destroyed them.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think there is a certain something to be said for that. But I think it depends on how the team wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to look again at Yale's blue line, or up to Yale.
Speaking of a team that won their conference tournament.
Yes, they won their conference tournament and the regular season. Mm-hmm. In the gladdy world, that does not bode well for NCAA tournament success. But not a lot of people often get real interested in dabbling in my world. So, Nate, something you said about familiarity, scout your own, and one of the games that I saw Yale play this year, they were actually pretty well bottled up. And this is a guy who's a senior. He doesn't have any NCAA tournament experience, which is a downfall. Because the other thing I want for Yale is somebody who's been through this before, which is why some of those veterans on BC look real attractive to me, specifically Ferio. But I don't, I don't want to tinker with what they got going on up front too much, you know. So this is a guy who
Ferio is going to be mentioned more in this and not taken.
I know. We have four picks left. He's going to end up last pick to BU, the BC. We're not that sadistic, are we? But going back to Yale, they won this game, and this is one of those nights that you watch them and you say, man, well, how are these guys doing it? And they played on the road against a pretty good team who underachieved. Yale was outshot in this game 36-15 and 4-2. And this game was against Union. And it was just like every opportunity they just buried it, Every chance just buried it. And that's how they play. And Cornell found that out on Saturday night. Union's got a defenseman named Lane Cafaro, who has had a great career for the Dutchman. He was a first team all ECAC hockey pick this year. And he brings some of that versatility bust that you talked about when we were looking at North Dakota and Garrett Reboyne. I think he's a good fit for Yale, and I'm going to go with Lane Cafaro.
It's a good pick. New Hampshire looked closely at him before they went with Gustafson.
He didn't like his pro day.
His 40 time was poor.
He didn't the shuttle.
Yeah. So yeah, Lane Cafaro goes to Yale. I think that's a good fit for them. And again, more depth. We saw Yale last week, and I know you guys got to watch him a little closer than you had, certainly during the regular season. But, I mean, you like what you see up front. You add Cafaro and Fairchild to that team. It's pretty good. So,
I might have gone with another scoring forward just to take pressure off that top line. But
yeah, I could see that.
Brock Little's there, and yeah,
Denny Kearney.
Defenseman.
Denny Kearney's good. They're pretty good up front. But yeah, it was coming between Cafaro and Ferio. For the experience and the points and the leadership and those things. But I'm just thinking Cafaro makes it. I just don't want to mess what they got though too.
Yeah.
So that's, to me that's a big part of it. So that there we go. Now we're down to our last four picks. It'll be Michigan, Denver, Notre Dame, and BU. And, Bus, we start with Michigan.
We start with Michigan. And when it comes time to talking about the NCAA tournament and Michigan, what usually comes up? Goaltending. Obviously, we know what happened to Billy Sauer the last couple of years in the tournament. And, Brian Hogan struggled against Notre Dame in the CCHA championship game. I don't necessarily feel like that's an indicator of things to come. But that said, if I was Red Berenson, I certainly would like to have
You have a plan B.
And an insurance plan. Let's put it that way.
You go in with a quick hook. And
so I think here's where we go with our guy Ocho.
I think you're right.
Chad Johnson from Alaska is the pick. And again, you know, Michigan fans are probably going to email us, why are you picking on our goalies?
Well, yeah. Because...
You know what we wrote last year in the wish list draft? In the second round, we took Kyle Richter, goalie from Harvard, because it would be a good insurance policy should Billy Sauer melt down.
And Billy Sauer was great in Albany. Absolutely fantastic, those first two games.
Yep. And then...
Then they were down 4-0 after the first period against Notre Dame. No, that wasn't the score, but it felt like it.
It did, yeah. That one goal should have counted for two.
Oh, yeah, the Thang goal. Thang. My man, Ryan Thang. He's like Brooks Lake. No, he's not. Just in the sense that he's my favorite player.
Just in the sense that he scored a pretty goal.
Yeah. Another snipe for like last night, huh, Nate?
Yep.
Yes. See that one, Buzz?
Push that right through Gerber's body. Pushed him in the net.
Grabbed him by the fight strap and threw him in.
He got him right in the mind, though. Did you see his reaction?
Yeah. Yeah. One victory. Tied it up.
There you go.
All right. This is not the Brooks Lake podcast.
No.
But fans are encouraged to ascribe to the Brooks Lake. I'm just kidding. Hosted by me, president of the Brooks Lake Fan Club. Okay, we are up to Denver. Denver took Ben Smith in the first round. They waffled a little bit, but they got to Ben Smith eventually.
Denver waffled. Shouldn't Denver omelet?
Yeah, yes, they should. Missed that good diner food from Denver last year.
Denver Diner, as a matter of fact. I think we literally ate there 5 times anyway.
They had no such recession in calendar 08.
No, between the four of us eating there.
5 times. In
5 times. And terrific food, by the way. I mean, I know this is – talk about an aside, but anyway.
We're getting close to deterioration time. Let's get through these 3 picks.
Let's wrap this up.
Then we can work out the breakfast menu.
You know, I look at Denver's roster, and I think I'm breaking into Mel Kiper territory here by starting everything. You look at if you watch him, you know, you look at a guy like Matt Stafford.
Yes.
You know, they're pretty young on defense. You know, Brookwell's a junior. John Lee is a freshman. You know, really their experience is Mullen and Testweed, and I like both of those guys. So I think what I want to do with Denver is give them a little bit more experience on the blue line. You know, a senior from a guy who's played in some tournaments, and obviously Boston College is the first choice. You know, I'm not necessarily looking for points. I'm just looking for a guy who can go out there, give you an honest shift, not make mistakes. You know, maybe kill penalties and do that kind of thing. Doesn't need to be on the power play. And I think the guy that I'm going with is going to be Tim Filangieri. Got good size, 6'2". I think that he makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Convincing case.
All the reasons you said, that's a good pick. They had 2 Eagles. They don't have to change their helmets or gloves. They're good.
Denver's crimson, I think.
Bring your own stuff. You're good.
We're not starting that description.
No.
We're not starting that discussion, I should say.
That's only for Selection Sunday.
Bring your own stuff. Probably should send that
out.
That
was maybe the low point in inch history.
Bring your gear.
Yeah, I think that was probably
the rock bottom. It was certainly the low point of the Inch podcast.
Yes, definitely.
Well, it depends.
Brings up Notre Dame.
We got Notre Dame, yeah. I kind of worked in this with Garrett Rowe last time, just as far as being a game changer. I'm open to suggestions here. In terms of the dirty goals, you know, there's a guy named Ted Cook at Niagara who scored a ton of goals in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got great size, and he'll play the simple game. I think he fits into Notre Dame's state of mind. So he was somebody I was considering.
I kind of like, at this stage, you know, Notre Dame doesn't need anything.
Right, right.
Grabbing one of those guys that may be off the radar.
Yeah, I think
you know, the only other thing that comes into my mind.
Yeah, you know more on Notre Dame than I do, but I think
Cook would fit. The only other thing is, you know, what if your goalie here gets hurt?
Yeah,
it's, you know, for that reason I was thinking Richard Bachman.
Wow.
Who's not a bad insurance pick to make.
Not a bad starter.
But, you know.
Yeah, we could go. But, I mean, again, part of the wish list thing is we're going on everybody being healthy.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know that everybody on your team's going to be healthy.
Yeah. We have to understand, you know, like Denver center, yeah, and Cornell and those things. So. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, other than awesome bus, what do you think of their blue line? If you could add one thing there, what would you go with?
Boy, that is a great question. I mean, they really do have just about everything you could want.
Who's their enforcer back there? Who's their guy that goes up? I mean, I think the strength of their defense is the versatility. You know,
I think
they're good in all three zones.
I think that you can look at Cole is, Cole's got 26 points, but he's got the most penalties of any, you know, the most penalty minutes of anybody on that team.
He's got to have the most ice time, too.
I would guess so. He and Lawson.
Yeah.
Blatchford is, I think I explained
playmaker.
Him.
Yeah.
A poor man's Jam Lyles.
Oh, yes, you did say that.
Teddy Ruth, I think, is probably their hardest hitter.
Right.
That top four is pretty good. Sean Lorenz is their fifth guy.
How's Lusick?
Lusick is their sixth guy. They're fifth and sixth defensemen. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're not going to kill you. They're not going to, but they're, you know, at the same time, they're not going to, you know, not going to be dynamic guys for you either. They're going to do their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a lot of, I guess if, you know, if there was another need for Notre Dame, it might be a good depth defenseman.
How about Joe Staskel?
Well, he's from my hometown, so
he is from your hometown.
I can't really say no to him.
One of the depth defensemen who I like is, and way under the radar this year, is Matt Taormina from Providence.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like him a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I like that pick right there, Nate. What do you think on that, Bus?
Well, he goes to the Catholic school there, too. So
that's true.
Bring
your Bible. Your rosary.
That would be a good fit. You know,
I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, he can do a lot of different things.
Because, you know what, at Providence, he has to do everything. He
right.
can go to Notre Dame and just play a simple game. Like that.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Good pick. And Boston University Terriers.
I might have overthought this, but...
Nobody at Inch has ever been accused of overthinking
it. It's a groundbreaking movement here.
I will preface this with saying that I have complete faith in Kieran Millan. But you're trying to win the NCAA tournament with a freshman goalie.
which hasn't happened in 50 weeks.
You're going to do it? Back him up who can tell him how to do it.
All right.
John Muse.
Drive down the street, John Muse.
I love it.
Don't bring your gear because we don't want any of that in here.
Yes. Yes. John Muse of Boston College goes to BU in the wish list draft.
And if Milan, you know, if he gets hurt or something, then you got a goalie. Yeah. You don't have any other needs, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
That's a pretty steady team right there.
I was thinking Ocho Cinco just in case, but he's off the board.
He's off the board. Well, what about
Bachman?
What about Bachman?
They're good goalies all around, but how many of them won national championships as freshmen?
John Muse.
Exactly.
He's the one. He's the one. Let me take a quicker look here at BU. What do you got rolling out?
Another forward. You could get another forward.
Man. That fourth line is even good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. No, that's a good pick there. Rollheiser's there. Another freshman. But yeah, I don't know. I like maybe a veteran center there. Defensive center.
Bob Bassin.
Peter Zezel. Is he on the board? You know, they could be helped by a guy like Lee Jubenville, but he's already in the tournament, you know?
He's got a prior commitment.
Yeah. So.
So Muse it is.
Yeah, that's good.
But he's not gonna go like.
He's being put on his goalie consultant.
So
goalie coach.
He's not gonna break into the locker room and go all galooly on Kieran Milan now, is he?
Yeah. He's on his advisor.
He's a good teammate.
Good guy in the room.
If he was a bad guy in the room, would he won the national title?
I don't know. Ask Brian Boyle.
That's what
I was thinking. All right. Quick recap of round two. We started with Bemidji State. They added David Marshall from Quinnipiac. Ohio State wanted to bulk up on the blue line and added Matt Generous, a senior from St. Lawrence. Air Force again went defense and took Eddie Del Grosso from Nebraska Omaha. Miami grabbed best available player and a guy who kind of fits their style. And Ryan Lash of St. Cloud State was chosen by the Miami Redhawks. A couple BC defensemen went next, back-to-back picks. Vermont added Carl Sneap for his presence, and Princeton added Nick Petrecki for his tenacity and abrasiveness. Why is that funny?
I like that term.
It's tenacious.
Stick-to-itiveness.
No, just stick-ness.
Stick-it-to-you-ness.
Clarkson's Shea Guthrie goes to Cornell. And Eric Gustafson, defenseman from Northern Michigan, goes to New Hampshire. North Dakota will opt for Garrett Raboyne, defenseman from St. Cloud State. Northeastern goes with a guy who beat him three times this year, UMass Corey Quick. Minnesota Duluth, again, to the blue line with Ryan McDonough of Wisconsin.
By the way, UMass, Quirk, not Quick.
Oh, I'm poor at writing. Corey Quirk.
You're thinking old goalie.
Yes, I am.
I had a glass of Nestle's Quirk tonight.
Delish.
Mmm.
Still delish. The powdered kind?
Not the strawberry kind, was it?
No.
Oh,
do you get the powdered kind? In the metal can that opens in the middle?
No.
Oh, all right. Ryan McDonough, Wisconsin, goes to Minnesota Duluth. Union's Lane Cafaro stays in ECAC hockey and goes on Yale's blue line. Ocho Chad Johnson of Alaska is the Michigan goalie insurance policy. Denver goes with the third BC defenseman taken in the wishlist draft, all in the second round, Tim Filingeri of BC. Matt Tormina from Providence helps out Notre Dame on the back end. And BU, I don't know about this, man.
Just because BC thing?
No, just I think Matt Becca from Clarkson helps them. He's got good size. He can play on third or fourth line there. Add a little punch. He's not going to slow you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he fits. I think Blake Jeffrien fits.
Jeez.
I don't know. We going with this? We're going with it. It's John Muse.
You can go.
No, it's got to be.
It's not real. You know, it's not like we're sending the kid down Com Ave.
What line would you take to get
on the green line?
See, green? Take the green? Yeah, let's take the green.
Yeah.
All right, so there you have it, the Inch Wishlist Draft. A little different this year. Hope you enjoyed the podcast and got to talk it out a little bit. Talk it out amongst our friends.
And kind of see behind the scenes, behind the war room.
How it comes together, yeah. So we hope you enjoyed it. Of course, stay tuned to Inside College Hockey all weekend long for extensive coverage. We'll be at all four regionals, and we'll have preview stories as well. So check those out. Should be great hockey nationwide. Any final thoughts, deterioration, boys?
Not that I can think of.
Nope.
All right. Well, that'll Yeah, that's good. I'm okay with that. We're good. That's been the InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. Thanks for listening.